On Saturday, March 30th, there is going to be something that's going to take place here at Community Bible Church that's going to be a first in our 60-year history. And that is, we are going to have our first worship service that's not going to be on a Sunday morning. We're going to add a Saturday night service just for Easter weekend. That's Saturday, March 30th at 6:30. And you may say, well, Jeff, why add a Saturday night service? There are two primary reasons. The one reason is that it's going to provide us more opportunity to share about Christ and the resurrection with people from the community. And that's where you come in. We have postcard invitations at the Welcome Center and at the mailbox, and we want you to be thinking about who you can invite to one of our three services on the Easter weekend. And the second reason why we are going to a Saturday night service is that many of you are able to realize that our parking lot and our seating is full on a regular Sunday morning. And on Easter, we are not sure that we would be able to park everybody and have everybody in here in two services. So it provides more opportunities to share the gospel, and it also helps us out with some logistical elements. That's Saturday night, 6:30. It'll be identical service to the two services that we have in here on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and this service as well. As you heard from Dave, he had the opportunity to begin attending Community Bible Church when he was 10 years old. And when he was a teenager, we served together in the ministry here. And here's a picture that captures us serving together. I don't think the person who took this picture realized they were taking pictures of two future pastors at CBC. But we were doing training for a vacation Bible school that we were doing in the youth ministry that was going to be in inner city Philadelphia. And so Dave was up there monkeying around with the clown. Take your Bibles, turn to, you can get rid of that picture on the screen, thank you. A little distracting. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And even though this is an installation service for Pastor Dave, I don't want you to come into this service and say, oh, okay, then I get to check out. I get to just veg out for the next 20 to 30 minutes. This isn't going to apply to me. And this is going to apply to all of us who are in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, this message is not just for Dave, it's for you. Because the Bible is clear that we are all ministers. God has given us as believers the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has given us spiritual gifts, and He's calling all of us to minister, not just pastors. I want to share with you two quotes came across this week. One is from Dale Loesch, who is the president of Crossworld Ministries. He says this in a book, A Better Way. The very notion that there is such a thing as full-time ministry is one of the greatest disservices we in the West have done to the body of Christ. We have marginalized the vast majority of believers from actively participating in the Great Commission, which is to make disciples, by essentially saying, you can pray, you can give us your money, you can even take a short-term trip, but leave the full-time missionary task to us professionals. I have heard pastors and missionaries speak countless times of being called to full-time ministry as if it were some intermediate step between heaven and earth. We have wrongly communicated to 99% of Jesus' followers that there are two classes of Christians, those who are called to ministry and everyone else. Thank you. Take a look at what Radical David Platt says in Radical Together. He said, let us then not be so foolish as to confine the work of the Spirit to one professional, i.e. the pastor, speaking at one place, I hear in church, at one time of the week. Let us not be so unwise as to bank the spread of the gospel on a certain person at a certain place when all week long the Spirit of God is living in every single man and woman of God, empowering each of us to advance the kingdom of God for His glory. Amen? Amen. God has given each one of us His Spirit to empower us, to indwell us, to be His light, to be His presence, to be His ambassadors wherever we are. So don't check out this morning. This charge to Dave is to all of us. To help drive that point home, I want you to finish this sentence. I minister at. What comes to your mind as you think about finishing that sentence in the context of your life? In fact, I'd like a few of you to just stand up and to finish that sentence. Maybe you're going to name the company you work for. Maybe you're going to finish it with your street address. Somebody want to help me out? What does that look like for you? Finish that sentence. Okay, I minister at Hemfield High School. Very good. Thank you, Troy. Yes.
I minister at Hershey Company, and sometimes I sing at other churches.
Great. Anybody else?
I minister at Starbucks Coffee.
Awesome. Somebody in first service said, I minister on Facebook. Go ahead. Can you share that again, Andrew?
Musical practice.
There's a young lady who stood up in first service and she said, I minister wherever I'm at. So with that backdrop, with that understanding that we are all called to be Christ's ministers, follow along as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. I give you this charge. Who is the I? The I is the Apostle Paul, and he's giving this charge to Timothy, his protege. He has mentored and served with Timothy for numerous months and even years. At the time, Paul was writing from a cold Roman prison, cut off from the world with probably just a few visitors or two. And Paul knew that he would soon be executed, that he was in prison waiting for his execution. And so he is passing on to Timothy the baton. He's passing on the leadership to those churches that are fledgling, that have just become churches. And he is saying, Timothy, here's what I'm charging you with as I pass on the baton. I'm not going to be here. You're going to need to provide leadership to these churches. Here's the charge I bring to you. Verse 2, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In verse 6, for I am already being poured out like an drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. The time has come for my departure. Paul understood that his time on this earth was short, and he was passing the baton of leadership to Timothy. So what does Paul charge Timothy with? Verse 2, he says this, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. In other words, always be prepared to teach and to share the Scriptures. Again, I'm going to be speaking specifically to Dave, but this is application for all of us. Dave, as a pastor of care, you're going to be called to minister to lots of hurting people who will be in need of comfort and guidance. Don't give them the advice of Dave Forward. Instead, take them to the Scriptures for hope, for comfort, for guidance, for direction. As a pastor of care, you're going to find yourself in lots of counseling situations. You will find yourself in the midst of hurt and conflict. And let me say it again, don't share with them the words of wisdom of Dave Forward, but instead, take them to the Word of God. Show them what the Word of God says. They may take offense at what the Scriptures say, but don't back away from the truth that will set them free. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active." You can follow along on the screens. "Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It is the Word of God that will bring hope. It is the Word of God that will bring direction and transformation to those you minister to. Take a look at the quote that I have in your notes. Underneath Keys to Ministry, "Preach the Word. When the words of mere humans drive how and where we are going, we will go nowhere. When we unchain the power of God's Word in the church, it will unleash the potential of God's people in the world." So Dave, as a minister of the gospel, preach, teach, share the Word of God to correct, to rebuke, to encourage. But most importantly, feed yourself on the Word of God. Feed yourself on the Word of God daily and regularly. Walk in submission to God's Word. You have no business sharing God's Word with others unless you are living by it and under it. So Dave, as a minister of the gospel, preach the Word, teach the Word, share the Word. The second charge that Paul gives to Timothy and to each one of us as his ministers is this in verse 5. Doesn't sound real spiritual, but he says, "Keep your head in all situations." Paul was calling Timothy to remain cool-headed in the face of difficulties. Dave, as you know, as the pastor of care, you will find yourself in some intense situations. You will be dealing with situations that are highly emotional. People around you will be responding out of fear and out of anger many times. And God is calling you in those situations to keep your head, to remain cool when those around you are not. As someone who has known you for quite a while, I appreciate that you are even-keeled. You're stable. You're controlled. But even though God has wired you for this position, you do not have enough strength and enough willpower to keep your cool, to keep your head in all situations. It will be critical that you will walk closely with Jesus each day, for you never know when you will find yourself in an emotionally charged situation. You may be by the bedside of an individual who has just lost a loved one. You may find yourself in the midst of a marital conflict. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of that hurt, you will need to be cool-headed. God is going to need you to be spirit-filled, need you to be a stabilizing force in difficult situations. So walk closely with Jesus so you can keep your cool in those kind of stressful situations. Paul goes on to charge Timothy in verse 5 to endure hardships. If there was anybody who had the right to tell Timothy to endure hardships, it was Paul. Look at what he says earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. He says, "You, Timothy, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love," there's that word, "endurance in the midst of persecutions and sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Paul understood that just like he faced significant suffering and persecution, so would Timothy, so would all of his followers, so would people who were willing to be his ministers, to be his light. Which is why he was telling him to expect persecution and to endure hardships. Dave, you understand that living for God doesn't mean that your life will be easier. In fact, it means your life in many ways will be harder. Not only are there the realities that all of us need to live with in a broken and fallen world, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ, being a child of God, you will also experience spiritual warfare. You should expect opposition. You don't need to fear persecution, hardships, or opposition, but be prepared to endure them. The goal was not to avoid hardships. The goal is not to try to bypass them. The goal is by God's grace, God's help, God's strength to endure them, to walk through them, to face them. Yes, there are many joys and blessings to being a pastor, to being a minister. But like any occupation, especially ones that involve leadership, you can expect conflict. You can expect challenges. You can even expect animosity, which is why Paul's advice to Timothy was to endure hardships. His next charge was to do the work of an evangelist. If there was anybody who was an evangelist, it was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's passion was that everyone would come to know Jesus Christ, that every person would have the peace of mind, would have the joy in their hearts to know that their sins are forgiven, that they are right before a holy God, that their eternal security is not based on what they've done, but what is based on Christ. Paul wanted others to know that peace of mind and that joy that comes through a relationship with the living God through Christ. And so he was passionate about sharing his faith and pointing others to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, we see this passion to help others come to Christ. Look at how Paul describes his ministry. He says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible, win as many as possible to Christ. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some." Paul was an evangelist at heart, and he was calling Timothy to be an evangelist at heart. Dave, I appreciate your evangelistic heart. I appreciate your boldness and your heart to see others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You will find that your days will be full. And in the midst of the busyness, do the work of an evangelist. You will find people who are looking for help in all of the wrong places. Keep pointing them to Christ and to the cross. You will find people who the Holy Spirit has prepared their hearts. They will be incredibly open to embracing Christ as their Savior and Lord. And as you know, you will find individuals who have hardened their hearts to God and the gospel. Be gracious to them. Keep pointing them to Christ, because no one is beyond the reach of the gospel. You will never look into the eyes of an individual that is not loved by God. You will never look into the eyes of an individual who Christ did not die for. So as God gives you opportunities to do the work of an evangelist, live and preach the gospel. Do so not from a place of spiritual pride, not from a place of judgment, but from a place of humility, reflecting not only the truth of the gospel, but the grace as well. The end of verse 5, Paul gives a charge to Timothy that is specifically for Timothy as a leader in the church. He says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You see, Paul understood that the role of pastors, teachers, and leaders within the church body is not to do the work of the ministry. Let me repeat that. Paul understood that the role of pastors, teachers, leaders in the church is not to do the ministry. But according to Ephesians 4, the pastor's roles, the leader's role, are to equip the saints, to equip the church family for works of service. Dave, the elders didn't hire you, me, or the other pastors here at CBC ultimately to do ministry. Our primary responsibility is to prepare God's people for the works of service. As pastors, we need to remember that we're not the only ones who have the Holy Spirit or spiritual gifts. Thus, our job is to help others here at CBC to serve God in the way He has called them and gifted them. Paul was telling Timothy, give the ministry away. Dave, this is not to say that you are not to counsel, that you are not to visit. But my concern and the concern of the elders is that you don't get so busy counseling and visiting that you are not taking the time to build and to invest in others to assist you in ministering to the broken and hurting in this community. Let me remind you, you are only one person. But God's calling to minister to the broken, the hurting, physically, emotionally, and spiritually in this community is this church family. And as pastors, our role is to get behind them, to empower them, to encourage them, to equip them, to minister to the broken and hurting people. That's God's plan for advancing His kingdom through His church family. So Dave, discharge the duties of your ministry by utilizing the giftedness of those within the CBC family to have them serve alongside of you and for you to serve alongside of them. So each one of us are called to minister. And if we are going to minister, we need to preach the word. We need to keep your cool. You need to endure hardships. You need to do the work of an evangelist. And if you're a pastor or a leader in this church, you need to give your ministry away. At this time, Pastor Jim is going to come and provide you with the challenge as it relates to being a husband and father.
Like Jeff, I've known Dave a long time. And like Jeff, I'm going to be talking to Dave. But I think that what I'm going to have to say to Dave is going to benefit all of you husbands and fathers. So what I want to do is I want to start by putting a picture up on the screen. I asked Dave first service if he recognized this picture, and he said yes, which I was really glad to hear. Or I was afraid he might need counseling. This is Dave and Angie's wedding day. And in this picture, Dave is washing Angie's feet, which he surprised her that day to do. Not because her feet were dirty, but as a symbol that that is the way he was going to serve her. Now, I remember two things about this. First, I got to tell you the backstory. I don't remember why, but I was, my wife and I were invited to the wedding, but I don't remember why. I could not go. So my wife went on our behalf, and she came home, and I said, how was the wedding? And she was like, oh, you would not believe what Dave did. And she told me about this foot washing. I remember two things. First thought that went through my mind was, why did he do that? He makes the rest of us look terrible. And the second thing I thought was, boy, if he will love and serve Angie that way, she is one lucky woman. So I want to offer you a challenge today, Dave, as a husband and a dad. And to do that, I want to start with a story. Some time ago, would have been probably like 2006, I had the opportunity and the privilege to serve on the Senior Pastor Search Committee. And during that time of service, we interviewed a number of people for the position, and there were three men that we invited back for a second interview. Obviously, one of them was Pastor Jeff. But I'm going to tell a story about the two other interviews, so this is not related to Pastor Jeff. But the two other guys we interviewed, when we called them back, one of the questions I remember distinctly asking them was, we asked both guys the same question. We probably asked Jeff this question, too. He didn't give a great answer, so I don't know what that means, Michelle. But anyway, I don't remember it. I don't know. Anyway, so we asked the first guy, how do you balance work and family? And I remember him saying, that's easy. I just take my kids with me every time the church is open. And I was thinking, really? Like, that's how it works? Like, it was pretty simple to him, but I was thinking about, like, our elder team meetings that go to, like, 11. I was thinking about my three-year-old, and I was thinking, I don't think those go together real well. Next guy came in, and we asked the same question. How do you balance work and family? And I mean, to this day, this has stuck with me, what he said. He said, all I know is, sometimes I have to leave work to go tend to the needs of my family. And sometimes I have to leave my family to go tend to the needs of my ministry. And I just try to walk with God in such a way that He will direct me when to do which. And it made me think about the fact that us men, oftentimes we really, really like formulas. Right? And how many nights do I have to be home to help put the kids to bed when they're little so they don't rebel as teenagers, you know? Or how many times a month do I have to bring home flowers so that everything stays happy in my home? It's a formula. The problem with a formula is, Dave, is that you didn't marry a scientific equation, right? You married Angie. And God blessed you and Angie not with mathematical formulas, but with Aaron and Laura and Luke. Where's Luke? There's Luke. Don't want to miss you, Luke. And the needs of your wife and the needs of your kids change. We go through seasons, and formulas don't work. So while we oftentimes want formulas, God wants us to stay in relationship with Him. And so this morning I want to give you two challenges that as you walk with God, your walk with God should produce these things. You should walk with God in such a way that these two things happen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. I was studying Luke, this was a number of years ago, and I came to this verse, and it really caught me off guard, and it's kind of stuck with me. So I want to read this for you, but I want to give you the backstory. In Luke chapter 1, we're learning about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist is going to be preparing the way for the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And this is what verse 17 says of chapter 1. And he, that is John the Baptist, will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Elijah was like their favorite prophet. Go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, so this is saying that John the Baptist is going to go through the nation of Israel, and God is going to use him to stir people's hearts. That there's going to be this work of the Spirit. And it describes what that work is going to look like, and it describes it, I think, in a way that we normally think of the work of the Spirit in people's lives. It says that it'll turn the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness. And when we think of the work of a Spirit, we think of revival, we think of that. We think of the disobedient turning to righteousness. But the first part of that is what kind of caught me off guard. It says to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And notice it doesn't say moms. It doesn't say anything about the moms. Because generally men are task-oriented and women are relational. I mean, that's a stereotype. It's a broad stroke. But typically that's the way it works. You know, a mother will, like, sit up in the bed at night and go, I just heard my child skip a breath, right? Men are going, what? So the work of the Spirit is to turn the hearts of fathers to their children. And as men, it's really easy for us to get so caught up in our work, so caught up in our hobbies, so caught up in the things of life that we can miss the needs of our children. And so, Dave, my challenge to you this morning first is to walk with God in such a way that your heart turns more and more toward your children. This is not to say it's not there now, just that it's going to continue to turn more and more toward the needs of your children, Aaron, Laura, and Luke. To stay engaged with them as they grow in the different seasons of their life. And to, where appropriate, this is not elder team meeting, but to, where appropriate, bring your children along with you. Let them see what you do. Let them see how you serve the Lord. Let them see your work. I think this is a great challenge for all of us men. Bring your children, especially the young children, along as best you can so they can see what you do and how you live your life. Second challenge comes from Colossians chapter 3. If you're in your Bibles, turn there. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And the backstory on this is I've been spending my own personal study in the book of Colossians. And as is kind of typical of my pattern, I was reading through Colossians, and you read it a couple of times, and after a while you think, well, okay, now I'm done. And about that time is when God kind of really causes me to stall out. And so I've been stalled out personally right here in chapter 3 of Colossians. And in the second part of chapter 3, Paul gives instructions on how we ought to live our lives within our families and workplaces and stuff. And in verse 18, it tells wives their role in marriage. And in verse 19, it tells husbands their role. And I think oftentimes us husbands want to look at verse 18 and study that. And wives want to look at verse 19 and study that. And I've personally been skipping over verse 18 and just going right to 19 because that's the one that speaks to me. And it says this, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. When I first read this and really got a handle on it, I was like, harsh? I mean, that's such a harsh word. Right? I mean, harsh? Why does he use the word harsh? And then I was thinking, oh, okay, well, that's cultural because, you know, he was writing to this at a time to a culture where wives were viewed as property, not as a helpmate. And so, of course, it'd be easy for a husband to be harsh. And then as I spent more and more time in this, the Lord started to convict me of the fact that it is easy, if I'm honest, to become unloving to my wife and even to be harsh to her. And this has been my prayer, Dave, recently, to pray, Lord, help me, convict me where I'm being unloving, convict me where I'm being harsh, and help me to be loving to my wife. And so and my second challenge to you, Dave, is to walk in God in such a way that he will direct you, that your heart will grow more in love with your wife, Angie. And again, it's about a relationship. It starts with your relationship with the Lord, and it will allow you your heart to grow. So as we look at that picture, keep doing that. Keep loving your family like that, leading them through service, leading them by servant leadership, and walking with God in such a way that your heart will be more and more turned to the needs of your children and more in love with your wife, Angie. At this time, Paul Brosi is going to come, and he's one of the men on our elder board, and he's going to be leading us through the next part. Paul?
Thank you, Jim. Dave and Angie, I'm going to ask you to come on up here on stage. While they come up, I just want to share a little bit with you. Here at CBC, we view our pastors as elders. Not all the elders are pastors. But we do view our pastors in that role. And so some of the applications that I have here this morning in terms of the induction would apply to all elders. But specifically this morning, we're talking about the pastoral role. The selection of a pastor is done very carefully with much prayer and consideration. There are questions that we ask ourselves and we ask of him. That is, does he meet the qualifications of an elder? Does he possess the giftedness for the position that he has applied for? Does he have a servant leadership mindset necessary to work with the leadership team? After the submission of an application, the resume, several interviews at various levels, the elders of CBC have determined that Dave Forward has met the qualifications of an elder. Though he will be asked to attend the formal training of elders to be familiar with what we expect of elders here at CBC. We believe that David has the skill sets that are necessary to fulfill the pastoral position for which he has applied. And we have sensed his servant heart, believing that he will bring added depth to our present leadership team. David, the Apostle Paul, had, in addressing the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, had encouraged them to care for the flock for which the Holy Spirit has made them overseer. Your call to eldership in the pastoral role is one of the Holy Spirit. It is one that the Holy Spirit has called you to, Dave. Yes, we recognize that call, and as people here at CBC, we accept that. But with a high call comes a high degree of responsibility. As elders, we believe you are ready. Having fulfilled the biblical requirements and having served faithfully in other roles, we as elders of the Community Bible Church extend to you the opportunity to serve our Lord and Savior at a deeper level by serving this congregation. This is done humbly with a servant mindset and yet with full confidence that the same Lord who has called you to this high calling will also give you wisdom to complete this stewardship. We welcome you and look forward to your participation with the leadership team. Part of leadership responsibility is to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ for strength and wisdom and be prepared to be a part of the training of the next generation of leaders. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we read, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." David, I'm going to ask you several questions, ask you to respond. But before I do that, I just want to recognize Angie as well. We know that she's your wife. She is not the one that we're hiring. But she definitely will be part of your team to support you, to encourage you, to rub your back, you know, whatever else they do. You know, but we definitely want to include her this morning. David, do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church, universal, and God's word to you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the doctrines of our faith as expressed in our doctrinal statement as authentic and reliable expositions of what the scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you fulfill your pastoral role in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by His vision for this congregation? Will you be governed by our church polity? And will you abide by His discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the direction of God's Word and the Holy Spirit? Will you, in your personal life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world? Will you seek to serve God's flock here at Marietta with energy and intelligence and love? Will you seek to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Thank you, Dave. I think as a congregation, we also have a sense of responsibility. I want to read a statement here that I'm including myself in. I'm going to ask us all to stand while I read this. After I read the statement, I'm going to ask you to respond by saying, "We will." So please listen. Will we, as members and attendees of Community Bible Church, accept David forward in his pastoral role? And will we encourage him and pray for him? Will we respect his decisions and seek to follow his guidance as he seeks to serve Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? Please respond by saying, "We will." Thank you. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of running a race to give a word picture of the Christian's life. Combining these thoughts, I am giving to you a baton this morning to typify you becoming a part of the leadership team here at CBC. Keep in mind that in time, you will need to pass that leadership on to others in the spirit of 2 Timothy 2:2, who will also then fulfill the ministry and objectives of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dave, welcome. Glad to have you on board, and we're glad to have you as part of our leadership team. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. We want to pray for David, but we also have some flowers we want to give to Angie as an expression of our appreciation for her part of this. Angie, accept that on behalf of CBC. Dave, why don't you come on forward up here a little bit? That's it. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to open with a word of prayer and ask Pastor Jeff then to close us. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dave. I thank you for his commitment to you, his servant attitude and heart. I thank you for Angie, who is there to be a helpmeet and to encourage and support him. And Father, I thank you that we can depend upon your Holy Spirit to empower Dave, to give him wisdom, to give him the right words at the right time, so that he can be of comfort and care for those that are under his leadership there. Father, as he visits, as he counsels, we ask that your Spirit will give him a special unction of understanding of the situation. Give him wisdom beyond his years, and Father, may you truly bless him as he blesses others through the ministering of your word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that Dave would find great success, not in the abilities of it that he has, but, Father, as he works in the power of your Spirit. And so, Father, we commend him to you. We commend him to you for service, and we thank you that you have saw fit to bring him here to CBC to minister to our flock. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we declare that you're a great and awesome God. We thank you that in your wisdom and in your sovereignty, you knit Dave and Angie together in their mother's womb because you could see this day, because you could see what you have created and called them to be and to do. Lord, we thank you that you have given them everything they need for life and for godliness. We thank you for your word that will be a light to their path. We thank you for your Spirit that will counsel them and enable them and guide them. Lord, I pray that you would draw them close together as a couple. I pray that they would lean into you, that they would be able to minister out of the overflow of their hearts and their walks with you. Lord, I pray that they would find their adequacy in your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.